The Fan on Demand.
We're back. You ready? Tim and Sid. Hour number three. Swell.
Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sid Sixero. Tim McAuliffe, this is Tim and Sid. It's a good Thursday afternoon. The sun's out. I forgot what it looked like. Sun's back. Big East tournament up on the television.
Everything's all right.
We got primetime sports at 4.
Got Pittsburgh and Syracuse.
Little Pitt and Syracuse. They're saying this is Jim Boeheim's swan song this season, Timmy. This is it. Could be it.
There's a lot of, and think of Syracuse and how much they've had to do with what the Big East has become. And for him to walk it, like, it might be the time.
I still say the most enduring image in Big East history, Big East basketball history, is John Thompson's towel. To me, that's it. When you think Big East, what do you think of? There's a lot of things in play.
Yeah.
To me, it's John Thompson and the towel.
But if you throw Jim Boeheim, like, right behind that. Like, if that's your number one, Jim Boeheim.
Jim Boeheim cussing out Andy Katz is number two.
Is number two.
Number two greatest thing ever.
Speaking of cussing out, you've done your fair share with Andrea Bargnani. What the future holds is the question now that he is out for the season, and it may go for more than just Andrea Bargnani. It may trickle through the entire organization. Here to help us break it on down, or at least give us some insight, is the lovely and talented Doug Smith. Doug, how are you today? How are you today?
I'm living the dream. You guys forgot Louis Carnesecca's sweaters, though.
Oh,
well done.
How could we forget Sweet
Plazo.
Lou?
Plazo. Yeah.
Louis Carnesecca's sweaters.
Yeah, and when St. John's used to be relevant. That I think those are all in there.
The Bill Weddington era.
The Bill Weddington era, yes.
Very good. Doug, already.
Couple of great references.
Already on fuego. It's a
Chris Mullin's haircut.
Very good. Very good. What are you going to, before we talk, Andrea, since we're on the topic, what are you going to miss most about the Big East as we know it?
The tournament.
This, right? It's odd.
Yeah. It's great. It's great moments. It's the garden. It's got all the magic of it. Yeah, I'm going to miss the big tournament. Like, they're going to have that Catholic Seven or whatever it is, and they're still going to play in a garden, but it's not going to be the same.
All right. Let's talk Andrea.
Okay.
Some people would say I've been unfair to Andrea. I don't think reading his box score has been unfair. It may seem like cruel and unusual punishment, but I don't think it's unfair. Is he done with the Raptors? Will we see him play another game in a Raptor uniform?
If I had a guess today, I would say yes, because I don't think there's a trade for him in the summer without putting a piece into a trade that you don't want to put into it. And I think you got to bring him back in the fall and see what he's got.
It's almost to the point where, and maybe it's not almost, maybe it is at the point where you can't get anything for the player, and unless you're just willing to call it a day and get absolutely nothing in an amnesty, then you have to bring him back. Am I wrong on that?
No, I think you're right on that. And amnesty is not an option. It doesn't do any good for the team because it doesn't get them far enough under. It doesn't get them under the cap to replace them with anybody of any significance.
But Doug, we're not talking about the cap anymore, Doug. With him, I don't think. I think this story has gotten to the point where he is just, he is a sore on the organization.
Sixero thinks that it's simply
this isn't cap.
Addition
this
by isn't, subtraction.
This isn't bad contracts. This and that. He has to go.
I think at some point he probably will. I don't think he has to go. I still think he is a basketball player. And I've thought this all along. Now, we're going to couch this all in the same terms that we don't know who's going to be running the show next year.
Right.
And that's a big issue because we don't know if the general manager is going to be back. We don't know if the coach is going to be back. We don't know anything. Team is, they are where they are. The record is what the record is. And there's an option year on the general manager's contract, and the coach has 1 year relatively low money left. So everything has to be couched in the terms of who's making the decision. And we don't know that. We won't know that until May.
If you're a betting man,
they pick up Brian's option, and then he makes a decision on Dwayne.
Do you think, and I said this earlier, and I hate to put you in this situation. If I'm putting you in a tough spot, just tell me, and I won't do it. But I say that if Brian Colangelo is the GM of this team, there's absolutely no way that he can amnesty the player or give him away for nothing. because that puts him in a spot where a year ago he could have got something good for this guy, and now to give him away for nothing is just too big of a pill to swallow.
I think there's a lot of truth to that.
Yeah.
I do. It would be a huge admission, although Brian had said in February he's more than willing to trade him. He said that the day he traded for Rudy Gay in Atlanta. I think the direct quote was, maybe it's time for a change of scenery, and yeah, we will explore options. So he's willing to trade. He's not willing to give away so that some team below the cap can sign him for $1 million and he can come back and beat their asses four times this year.
That's true, too.
I know what you're saying, Doug, but I have never been less threatened by a player going to another team in my life than Andrea going to the Hawks.
We're writing that down.
And coming back and the Raptors ruining the day. There's just something about this guy. I mean, Larry Murphy, you kind of saw that coming. You know, other guys in the city, you see that coming.
You did.
Bargnani, yeah. you, I don't see that coming.
No, I probably, you're right. That's a tad far-fetched. But, he remains an asset. You can't give assets away.
Doug, let me ask
you. I understand he's a diminished asset. Yeah. No question about it. And a lot of it's on him. But he is an asset, and you can't give away an asset, especially in this day and age in the NBA. You need to turn them into something, and turning them into nothing is not prudent business.
Doug Smith, Toronto Star, here on Tim and Sid Sportsnet, 590 The Fan. There might not be an easy answer to this, but let me approach it from this angle. What, if anything, can this organization learn from this situation?
You know what, and this goes back four, five, six years. I think they need to make players more accountable, and I think they have to ask players to step outside their comfort zone to maximize their talent. I thought they should have taught Bargnani a bunch more post moves 4 years ago because he is 7 feet tall and he does have that little baseline fade. But they didn't. They let him sit out there and take three-pointers, and some nights he was effective at it, most nights he wasn't. But I think they need – everybody needs to hold people more. They need to force them to change a little bit, to stay out of their comfort zone.
Challenge. You're saying challenge them.
Challenge them or change them a little bit. Just try to maximize their abilities and see what you've got. There's too many players across. And this is certainly not a Toronto phenomenon. It's across the NBA.
Yeah.
Players get branded, and no one challenges them to do something different. And maybe it fails. But I think you need to try it with a lot of guys.
Yeah, you know, it's a cross-sport phenomenon.
That's true.
And I think if you looked at the psychology of all the best organizations, we're seeing it right now with the New England Patriots in the NFL. They do it all the time. They look at it as a cold business. The San Antonio Spurs, guy next man up. You listen to our system. But the problem is that you need leadership from somewhere along the line that is willing to say, you know what, this is where the buck stops. Whatever it is, your GM, your coach, your owner, someone has to say, this is where the buck stops.
Yeah, I was talking to somebody today about that very thing, that the issue with managing professional athletes this day and age, at the general manager level and the coach level, is not about X's and O's. Hell, there's only six plays. Everybody runs them. The same stuff called different things. It's managing your personalities and getting the most out of your different players or your different coaches. It's a general manager saying to the coach, okay, try this. And the coach willing to say, okay, I will try that. It's the coach saying to the player, I think you can do this. Let's see if you can. And then you go from there. And if they can't, then you try something else. People get pigeonholed in all pro sports. I think it diminishes what some players could be.
Doug, I'm with you, but it transcends sports. To me, that is one of the weakest things in life you can see from a human being in a professional environment. It doesn't matter if you're on a court, in an office, whether you're a teacher. I don't care what it is. You walk into a professional environment and say, this is what I'm going to do. And if someone else says to you, well, what about A, B, and C? You think you could try it? You go, nope, this is what I am. That is a level of insecurity or stubbornness. I don't know what the proper characterization is. It just drives me insane. Attempt to broaden your horizons a little bit as a professional, and maybe you'll get better. And you're right. Bargnani walked in and says, I shoot threes. And they're like, okay, go ahead. Go nuts.
Well, we heard from Sam Mitchell as much, right?
Yeah, bang on. You're right.
That he couldn't do what he wanted to do with Andrea Bargnani because they felt that they needed to baby the player.
I love Sam like a brother, but I think he might be misstating things on that case.
Really?
I think, well, let's get back to what we were just talking about. If Sam was strong enough to say to his boss, no, we're going to try this my way.
Yeah, yeah.
Rather than just conceding.
Yep.
So, you know, there's, you know, like I said, I love Sam. And he's a, I thought he was a very good coach at a lot of levels. But I think there was something, he probably could have done a little bit more. And I think there's more to the story than him just saying I wasn't allowed to coach him.
Fair enough. Doug Smith, Toronto Star.
Yeah.
Tim and Sid, Sportsnet, 590. Okay, I'm tapped on Andrea. So,
are you good, Andrea? Because I asked him off mic, Doug. Just tell me when you're tapped on Andrea, because I'm out.
Just depressed as hell just talking about
can we this. Can we talk a little bit about Carmelo Anthony? And have you heard this afraid of needles thing? And that's why he didn't get his knees drained?
I read it somewhere, and I can't remember if it was anywhere reputable. Yeah. But the fact is, I think he's flown back from the West to get his knee drained.
Yeah.
So I'm not entirely sure how true that is either. I'm sure you're reluctant. I don't want people sticking needles in my knee.
Yeah. But if I missed games attempting alternative treatment because I was afraid of getting my knee, I was the same way. Like, I read it a couple different places, and I was trying to find a reputable source to make sure that this is what this dude did. And he was attempting to avoid getting a needle in his knee.
I think you probably take all the you explore all alternatives before you let somebody go in your body with a needle.
Wait, hold on a second. If you're paid to play basketball and you miss games because you're afraid of a needle, I'm sorry. Suck it up, son.
Because you're afraid. It's not like a spider.
What is this, Glenn Allen Hill and arachnophobia? Get out of here.
You just try different things. Then you go, okay, I got to get the damn needle.
Right.
And you come home to get the needle, and their Knicks are going to the toilet, I tell you.
Oh, I'm right there with you. And speaking to Sam, he was trying to convince me at the start of the year, and I had to eat crow on the Knicks, but this is getting ugly. And Carmelo Anthony, the ball-stopping nature of Carmelo Anthony, and you could probably say Andrea Bargnani in the same breath as this, just does not work. It worked at the college level, and he was good enough to carry a team to a championship. It's not good enough at the pro level.
But why did it work earlier this season? Why was it working earlier this season, Doug?
Because everybody else on his team made 1,000 3-pointers. It was fool's gold, their start.
But they were also playing defense, though.
But go look
they
at
were playing really good defense.
Their 3-point shooting percentage in the first 25 games, it was like 1,000,000,000%.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
Sustainable. So now what this means, of Harry Stoudemire a month, we don't know about Carmelo, more shots for J.R. Smith. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a lot of fun watching them guys.
That's not a good recipe for anything. So basically, I don't have to watch the Eastern Conference playoffs.
No, I don't think you do, actually. You might want to watch for the one fight that Miami and Indiana get into it. That's about it.
It's going to be very interesting in that East. Doug, we appreciate it. And one day we're going to talk to you, and Andrea Bargnani will not be mentioned. One day it's going
to
happen.
Yeah. Well, one day we'll talk to him when he comes back and has 30 against them.
And we'll pull out the quote.
Very good.
All right, guys. Take care.
There is Doug Smith of the Toronto Star right here, and Tim and Sid. I was writing it down and I couldn't finish it, but I haven't been more secure in the, I think we've pulled a clip like that before. I can't wait to see Andrea Bargnani re-find it. And the only thing is, he might re-find it at Benetton Treviso and not in Atlanta.
And if that might be his thing. That might be his thing. Tim, were you buzzed in terms of who we're going to speak to potentially next?
Yeah, I've just been whispered probably one of the better names. It's not Christopher Wesson-Bosch, but it's pretty damn close, if not better, given what's transpired today.
We believe we're going to speak to Nick Diaz next.
Do you want to play a clip from earlier today for those who weren't with us right now to get you set for what may transpire in our conversation with Nick Diaz?
Maybe number 5 from earlier today, Lancey. You want the heated back and forth, Timmy?
Yeah, let's set the scene. UFC 158 this weekend in Montreal. He's fighting Georges St. Pierre, and George has been pulled into a trash talking setup like never before. That's from you've never seen him this wound up.
I've seen him in a lot. I've seen him in this position a lot, but never in this state.
And Nick Diaz is the guy doing it.
Do you really think I'm afraid of you?
No, that's fine. Okay, no, I don't.
I'm afraid of you, man? Are you crazy in your head, man? I'm not scared of you. You'll see Saturday if I'm scared of you.
All right. I'm intimidating, right? That's my plan, to intimidate you out. Okay. I don't believe that the world champion is afraid of me.
I don't
believe the world champion
bad.
Is afraid of anything.
I'm not on steroids, man.
I don't think you're scared of anybody, bro. I don't. We'll see if they test who for steroids or what.
I hope they do.
Okay.
I hope they do.
Yeah. You hope they do. What, for me to test positive for steroids? Ain't going to happen.
That guy is coming on next.
I don't know what the hell's about to happen here.
Tim and Sid.
Sportsnet 590.
The Fan.
Now, more Tim and Sid on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Sid Sixero, Tim McAuliffe. This is Tim and Sid. Primetime Sports with Bob McCowan coming up top of the clock.
From Dunedin.
Alex Anthopoulos is going to be on the show today. You're going to do like an hour with Alex Anthopoulos today down in Dunedin. So that'll be good. Jays continue to rev up for the 2013 season. We have talked about it for 2 weeks now. UFC 158. It is Saturday. It's at the Bell Center in Montreal. Nick Diaz trying to become the undisputed welterweight champion of the world as he takes on George St. Pierre in what should be a hot atmosphere. Yeah, things were a little hot on the conference call last week. They were hot during the press conference today. We played you a bit of it. We now have one half of that press conference on the phone with us, Nick Diaz. Nick, welcome to Tim and Sid. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. How you guys?
Good.
Very good.
Things got interesting at the press conference today.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I'm happy to be here, though. I mean, you know, representing the U.S. versus Canada. Of course, you know, most of the people in the U.S. want to see me, you know, smashed out and hammered out. And they like to paint the picture of me, the evil, you know, evil villain. And, you know, I got George over here telling me, like, he wants to make me look like, you know, I'm trying to intimidate. And he keeps telling me, you really think I'm afraid of you? You know, you really think I'm afraid of you? And I'm like, well, you know, George, you should be afraid of you should be afraid of me, you know? I mean, honestly, I'm afraid of him. I'm afraid of George. No more than any other fighters I've been fought in the past. I mean, I'd like to see him fight Robbie Lawler. He'd get knocked the out. And, you know, or talking to Origomi back when I did. He'd have lost that fight, too. He'd have lost all those fights to all them hitters that I was fighting, taking punches, getting my face split open. Somebody talks about how I'm going to lose this fight easy because of all the scar tissue. Right. I was fighting all the hitters. And, you know, I think that should have been brought out a little bit more than it did. I just hope people understand that. That, you know, I don't have to lie to sell a fight. You know, I'm not the one in this position right now, frustrated position, because where I don't have anything to say except you really think I'm scared of you? You really think I'm scared of you? And that's the thing, you know, like, I don't got to lie. You know, he should be scared. And I'm like, I don't believe that he's not. I'm afraid of him. Should be. He's got to be crazy not to be. So I just don't believe it, you know, and that's my approach to MMA is just, you know, not just dealing with reality, you know, not faking myself out, not trying to believe in some sort of religion that's going to push me forth to push my faith and market my faith or even, I don't have anything against that people do that. That's fine. For me, that's not me. I don't believe that that's, that I need to look to this higher power or some sort of greatness or craziness even that I have in my mind in order to go out there and perform and win a fight, you know. And when he's sitting here going, you really think I'm afraid of you? You really think I'm afraid of you? And I'm like, oh, man, I know you got to be scared. You got to be a little bit scared, buddy. You know, I'm scared. I've been scared every time I go out there. And, you know, that's when it comes to the social anxiety and the media anxiety. That's what he says, that I have a social anxiety or I have a problem with the media. You really think that I'm not enjoying this press days and what's been going on here, this exposing the truth? Like, I don't have a problem with it. It's not the, you know, it's the fighting that I don't, that it's the fight I don't like. It's the fight I'm worried about. And it's the training that enhances my sense of security.
Right.
You know, and that's what, that's why I'm angry about the media when I have to do the media. It's only for, to miss out, only because I may miss out on my training, which enhances my sense of security. And, you know, I'm scared to fight. Well, you should be scared to fight. You ain't going to win. You ain't scared. So, you know, just wanted to get those points across, but.
Nick Diaz joining us here on Tim and Sid. So none of what you have said over the last 2 weeks has been to sell a fight?
Absolutely not. It's been honest to God truth. And I have not told a lie, but yeah, he has said that I followed him in the hotel and chased him around. Let Dana say that. Let Dana say, you know, he never asked for the fight either, but he did let Dana talk for him and say that, you know, I'm the most disrespectful person ever. And he just can't wait to, he's going to put the worst beating on me ever. I mean, do you honestly believe that he said that out of his mouth? I don't believe that. And why wouldn't he say it to the fans? Because I wouldn't have a problem doing it. I don't need to lie to the fans about what my opinion is. You know, I'm happy to give it. I have no anxiety or, you know, there's nothing in me that worries about expressing myself in front of a camera or in front of people, especially when we're dealing with, you know, what I do every day and what I know about, you know, and that, you know, when it comes to martial arts. And I think that people should understand where I'm coming from, and especially the fans. You know, George over here, he calls me an uneducated fool. And I say, like, you know, hey, man, I hate to talk bad towards the fans. I never, you know, but, like, if anybody's the uneducated fools out there, it's you that are eating up all this bullshit, you know, buying right into it. I'm like, come on, you should, you know, it's like educate. You should be, you know, his fans are martial artists, and they need to take it to the next level and start to understand what's what and what's real, you know.
Nick, what's the BS that you're talking about? What do you mean by BS?
When it comes to, like, you know, the way that they decide that I'm the most disrespectful person, and that he asked for this fight, all these things, you know, just so many things, you know. It's lies. They make me the evil villain, and everybody eats it right up. It's bullshit, you know. And
but you can correct that.
Yeah, well, that's why I'm here talking with you a little bit, and that's what, you know, the press conference is about. And I think that's what puts him in the position where he's frustrated and doesn't have much to say. You know, I think my logic here is pretty much undeniable, and he doesn't really have anything to contradict it with. And that's because he's lying, and that's because he's a liar, and that the UFC and the poster are making me this ugly 209 villain, and, like, I'm a bad guy, and I'm a violent person, and that's kind of funny to try to say that I'm not a violent person, but I don't want to see anybody hurt, you know, not even George. I'm happy with winning the fight. I think to ask for anything more than that, than to just win the fight, is just asking too much, you know. It's like, I don't need to go out there in pink shorts and some crazy hair, you know, wearing fruity colors and beat this guy in front of his hometown. I think that'd be asking way too much. So I've had guys do that with me. And like I said before, man, like all these fans, you know, they think, like, I don't even deserve to be here. I'm in the top 10. And you know, I'm like, hey, you would have got knocked out, bro. You would have got knocked out by this guy and that guy. All those guys that he was getting knocked out by grapplers, by, you know. No, fan Matt Serra is a good, you know, friend of mine. He's a good puncher, too. But, you know, it's just like, I was the one out there fighting the hitters. I was the one out there fighting all the hitters, all the violent people with bad intentions that weren't just looking to try and win a round. I had to fight those guys, and I had to deal with the anxiety, worry every day. I had to deal with my face being split open, even when I win the fights. I get beat up more when I win than when I lose. You see what I mean? Because these guys hold me, and they don't fight me. They get beat up, and then they win.
Nick, let me ask you something.
In my opinion, there's something wrong with this sport right now. And if the fans were educated enough to understand, and they would know that I'm not in the wrong here, and that, you know, in the future, I think that there needs to be some new promotions, or maybe the UFC needs to work with its to work something out with this, the way that it goes here. I just don't agree with a lot of things.
Well, I mean, Nick, martial arts aside and the art aside,
right?
There are some who would look at you personally and from a business standpoint and say you're not that cooperative. Now, you've done everything today and whatnot, but there's obviously a history where you just don't show up.
They also you know, do everything they can in their power to create these problems for me. And I'm not crazy. I'm not delusional. I'm not playing the victim card. People love to say that all I do is play the victim card when this sort of thing happens. I say it's a coincidence. I lost all those fights, and then those guys got beat up, and then I play the victim card, so that's like a regular thing for me. But they had me in here at 12 o'clock. Why not bring me in on a Monday or a Sunday? I would have been ready for all these things. Nobody worked with me and told me what I was going to be doing, that I was going to have a press conference in the morning. I figured I'm going to get in at 4 o'clock like I always do.
Today, you mean?
And yeah, 4 o'clock, and I'll be done with my stuff in time to get a workout and get back to my hotel room by at least 2 o'clock. I made it back to my hotel room after getting the sweat out and, you know, a little detox from the water I was holding from the airplane. It was must have been 4 in the morning. I would have got 2 hours of sleep and then went for an open workout. That would have killed my – I would have just wrecked my athleticism. I wasn't going to tap into my energy, and it's as if they want me to do that. So when I feel like, you know, something is going to be risking my health in the future, and none of this is going to enhance my sense of security, I'm going to show up for the fight. There's no doubt about that. I never miss no fight.
There's two questions that I got for you. One of them is, do you think Dana White and the UFC want you to lose this fight? Is that what you're saying?
I would imagine that they do. I think the U.S. wants me to lose this fight, especially after what they've been marketed. And, you know, it's not their fault. You know, it's not their fault that they are educated, okay? But they're educated on what's been marketed to them, just like any company does. Like any foods they market,
right.
They advertise, and there's a certain amount of money that goes out to make sure that this money does its job, and you better believe it's going to work. You know, that's why there's fat people. That's why there's fat people, because guess what? They ate it right up, and it was bullshit, and it was poison. And people need to, you know, they need to start to learn and understand market and advertisement, because that's what I learned from this sport. That's what this sport's taught me. Like, you know, I've been making this point about Rich Franklin. I'm sure he's a great guy, but he's a school teacher. You know, look what happens when he goes in there and fights Anderson Silva. You know, he was way behind there, but they marketed him as the best fighter, you know, as the best fighter in the world. And, you know.
So there's a vested interest.
They marketed that, and people believed it. They ate it right up. They bet on him. You know, after I make these points to you, none of my students and people around me are going to bet on Rich Franklin versus Anderson Silva.
The only other question that I just want to make sure that we got in before we let you go is, GSP got upset today at the press conference because he thought
he's lying, he can't fix what he did. He's trying to say that this was an old interview that he did when we all know that it wasn't. I just watched the interview last night, but I remember reasons why that was just not a different interview. It was the same interview.
No, but we're talking about you. We're talking about you today, basically insinuating. And when you're talking about grappling and running and scoring in MMA,
right.
You said a big guy on steroids holding you down. It was pretty obvious what the insinuation was.
The sport right now is geared towards that guy winning. Is geared towards any of
the insinuation. Right, but the insinuation was you were saying George is on roids. That was the insinuation.
Sure, yeah, I believe that he's on plenty of steroids. I don't think they test around here either. I doubt I'll be tested as well. I don't care what they're saying or marketing to the media. I don't think either of us are going to be tested. And if so, he's probably got a bottle of piss in his pocket. I doubt they're standing over him, making sure he's not on steroids.
So you're suggesting that the face of the franchise is on steroids and that Dana White would be complicit with that?
Sure, why not? Lance Armstrong is on steroids. And it was really a ridiculous thing that he was on steroids, that as far as he was concerned.
Nick, this is strong stuff. Can you guarantee me you're going to be clean after that fight? These are strong allegations, man.
Hell no, I'm not guaranteeing anything. I ain't guaranteeing. Last time I was nanograms. I didn't test positive, dude. I had like nanogram. Okay, so I'm like two over nanogram over. Okay, so what? I can tell you I did a little better than last time. So if I don't pass the test, I'm sorry. But, you know, I could probably use another year off vacation. You know, it's not like I enjoy this, taking punches to the mouth. I need to feed my family that hopefully one day I can acquire if I survive this shit. You know, I don't get to just have these things. I've made this investment. You know, I haven't sat down and made any commitments to anything other than this investment in martial arts. And
it is no doubt a tough way to make a living. And Nick, the last question I have for you, and you've been frank with us, and we appreciate that. Will Dana White be pissed at the things that you just said?
You know, I'm sure he will. But like I said in the press conference, you know, I may not be able to keep fighting for money and for a living, but I'll always have to fight for my dignity because that's who I am. I will always tell you the truth. I'll always tell the martial artists out there, the world, and the fighters and the people the truth. I'll never sell you a handful of wolf tickets that you're going to go take home, feed your family, and poison them and poison their future. It's just, it's not, that's, it's not, morally, it's not me. You know, so, and I don't think George is a bad guy. I don't. I think he's a good guy. I don't think he deserves, you know, I don't think he deserves anything bad. I think he's a nice guy.
He's just making his living like you?
I think that he just put himself in a stupid position to sell this fight, and now he's even said that, you know, I'm selling the fight, just like you, man. And I'm like, right, but you know what? Like I said, I don't have to lie to you to sell the fight. I don't have to lie to the fans. I don't have to bullshit people. And, you know, I also don't got to avoid the fight to win. I also do not have to avoid the fight and nullify the action and, like, try to slam an elbow into your forehead after I held you for 5 minutes. Once you're tired, I'm going to slam an elbow into your face. Once you're frustrated from trying to fight, then I'm going to hit you and you gas yourself out because you know you're losing the rounds. Even though I could protect myself for hours on the ground, hours on end with George fighting. As long as I'm not frustrated trying to get back to my feet and win a round, you know. So this is a martial arts. This is a ball game. I don't have any problem not participating in this ball game once. But I'll do it as long as I'm paid in full and everything. And I signed to fight, so I'm happy. I'm obviously okay with. Even though I'll probably have to give it all to taxes and be broke and co. It's not like I've ever had anybody take care of me.
Yeah,
in that
taxes.
Aspect. It's not like I've ever. Yeah, I'll probably be broke regardless whether I keep fighting or not.
Well, listen,
invest
Nick.
Invest some.
I know.
Do
you
got to
invest. You got to invest. Nick,
do
listen, we are way late. We appreciate it. And thanks for coming on today, Nick. We appreciate
it. Right on. Thank you guys, man.
There is Nick Diaz.
Okay, I'm going to get a coffee.
Yeah, we're gonna break this all down.
I'm going to get a coffee.
We'll break this all down. This is Tim and Sid. Stay tuned because we'll go over this, okay? Tim and Sid, deep breath, Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Like free sports tickets, trips, and memorabilia so you can trick your friends, colleagues, and mistresses into thinking that you're some sort of high roller? Hey, join the club.
Welcome to the club.
The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca.
You are clear to engage.
Tim and Sid.
That's what I'm talking about!
Now, Papa needs a little me time.
Sportsnet 590. 590. The Fan.
So how about that Wes Welker story, eh?
I have never been involved with an interview like Nick Diaz. Have you ever been in that situation with a guy where he's saying things that no one has ever said before?
No.
In his position.
And it leads me to believe one thing. This is his last UFC fight. Even if he wins, I think this is his last UFC fight. Why? For those just flipping us on, boy, you missed out.
Yeah.
We had Nick Diaz on for about, 17 minutes?
Yeah.
And we could have gone for 30.
Go to iTunes or sportsnet590.ca if you didn't listen to it. For those of you who've been with us for the entire time, it's almost like I understand what he was trying to say in many of those instances, Sid. I just don't think that he could articulate himself well enough to get his ideas across.
See, I disagree. I thought he articulated himself fine. No, I didn't. I don't think that happened at all, actually.
And the ideas aren't at all that crazy. We've just never heard them from somebody who is about to step into the octagon and fight 2 days from now.
I just regret not asking about the Pope, because that would have been unbelievable.
So he said that he believes that Georges St-Pierre, without a doubt, is on steroids.
And we're not paraphrasing. That's what he said. He insinuated as much at the presser today. GSP clearly got annoyed at the insinuation. We asked him directly. And yeah, he believes that.
I believe he's on plenty of steroids, was the quote.
He also doesn't. He's also not sure whether or not he will pass the post-fight test.
Well, he wouldn't guarantee to you that he would pass that post-fight test.
You know how you can guarantee?
He went Ross Rebliati on us, though, about talking about the nanograms.
Yeah. Like, you know, well, that. See, just some context on that.
Once got a nanogram at my door. It wasn't as fun as the other ones.
After his last fight, he was above. He was just above the limit,
right?
For marijuana use,
right?
Like just above. Now, that's like being a little bit pregnant. You either are or you aren't. So that's what he was insinuating there. You and I have been sitting here for almost 2 years on this show. And
right.
I don't know what to say right now.
And Gagan writes in and says, how could you possibly understand what Nick was trying to say? Nick doesn't know what he was trying to say. And there's a lot of like, okay, he's crazy. Like, we understand that part of it. I'm just trying to get to what he was attempting to say. And the part of the money and the being afraid to fight, like, it's almost a window. And Justin wrote in and said, what an interview. I think we all saw a different side of MMA. Perhaps it's one always knew but chose to ignore. That's a part of the side of that interview that will not make as much national news as some of the sexy things that he said, but was just as remarkably intriguing as the rest of it.
At his core, he is troubled.
Yeah.
And fighting is part of the reason why he is troubled. This is a guy who at times can't sleep at night. This is a guy who can't face the media. This is a guy who just doesn't like who he is and how he has to earn money. You get the feeling Nick Diaz doesn't like to fight. He fights because he's good at it. There's a difference.
Right.
And...
but we know that to be true of many fighters.
His trainer, Tim, also the other day, let me throw this one out.
Yeah.
And we may all know this kind of person. Yeah. Do you know the guy, either a friend or a family member, who's not happy unless they are unhappy? Nothing is good.
Right.
Nothing is satisfactory. There is something wrong with everything they see in front of them. That's Nick.
Right.
Nick's about to get a title shot. Nick's about to get on the cover of UFC magazines. Nick's about, if he beats GSP on his home turf Saturday, and if he gets out of Bell Center alive, asterisk.
Right.
He's going to be the biggest thing in MMA. God bless Anderson Silva and everyone else. This guy is the NWO if he wins on Saturday.
But judging from what we just heard, he's not ready for that.
He's barely ready for this.
We talked about it before we had him on, and when he didn't show up for the first engagement that was here in Montreal, he said you almost need to have Dana White hold his hand to get him to all of his obligations. And even then, he's claiming in that interview that he didn't know that today's obligations would be as much as they were. And here he is fighting for what we're calling a world title.
See, that's the point. I think that's how we should wrap this up. Consider everything you have just heard in this hour of the show. Everything you heard from Nick Diaz. Understand he is a right cross away from being a welterweight champion in the UFC. A symbol of the UFC. Are you gonna make the argument to me Dana wants that? You're gonna convince me of that? Nick's aware of it. I think the world's aware of it.
After today, I'm not sure that that's such a bad thing, Sid. I'm not so sure that that's not such a bad thing. I was thoroughly enthralled, and I hope that you were as well.
Yeah.
Could have been anywhere in the world, but you chose to be here with us, and we appreciate it.
We'll talk to you tomorrow. Primetime Sports with Bob McCowan is
Holy
next.
Holy bananas,
from
Batman.
Dunedin. I can't wait to get to Montreal on Saturday. You've been listening to Tim and Sid. Sportsnet 590.
Have fun.
The Fan.